Backseat Producers, episode number 73, Taxi Driver.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Tony.
This damn is Adam. It.
Wait, let's start over. And we'll leave this in anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Tony.
And this is Adam.
And we are the Backseat Producers.
We sure are.
You're probably...
You finally got me on the friggin' opening. And even I even commented on it, too. I'm like, oh, what? You're waiting for somebody to take a drink.
Yeah. You know, people are probably just about sick of hearing us... About now, if they've been listening to everything in the feed,
I swear we had a conversation today.
Yeah.
You're like, do you want to release the? You wanted to say, do you want to release the Animal House episode or not? And I was like, I can't imagine anybody out there wants to hear any more of us.
I know. Well, between the 3+ hour, I hesitate to call it an interview because it was like for like 20 minutes, it was kind of an interview. And then it was just like...
It rapidly stopped.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares about any of this stuff? Let's just talk about movies and stuff.
Well, for everybody who during that dark period wished we had more content, we finally came around.
Yeah. We were making up for it in spades.
Yeah. This is what you get.
I actually thought about keeping our numbering scheme through the Double Trouble mini episodes.
Whoa.
Just to boost our numbers up. Just to kind of catch back up. Because this would be like episode 80 already by now.
Yeah.
As it stands, this is like, I don't even remember, 73?
Well, it's probably the right move, though, because those episodes are not, you know, like 5 minutes long. They're not real episodes.
Yeah, but you know what? There's still some pretty good...
They're mini-sodes.
They're mini-sodes.
I really don't want to do a full episode of Legged Freaks.
No. You know, there was a couple of those movies that got the exact amount of time they deserved.
Yeah.
Eight-Legged Freaks and, what was that one...
Eight heads in a duffel bag?
Eight heads in a duffel bag was about the same way. Yeah, quite possibly the two worst movies that we did for that. You know, I think Butterfield, it wasn't that bad.
What about Heartache? I didn't see it, but you were critical of it.
You know what? It's just me and Paul Thomas Anderson. That's. But, you know, I don't think I really said too much bad about it. I just kept saying, I'm not a Paul Thomas Anderson fan.
Right.
I said that a number of times. But I struggle to say that I really said too much bad about that in particular. I complained about other movies of his when I was talking when I should have been talking about Heartache.
We talked about a whole bunch of stuff other than Heartache.
I was implying heavily about things, but you know, I really didn't have that big of a problem with Heartache. I honestly think it's more accessible than a lot of the movies that he's done.
I still think 8 Days a Week was fantastic, so here we are.
I still haven't seen it yet, so there you go.
You know, there was a somewhat philosophical post on 8 Days a Week.
Who?
I don't know, some guy. He says, I've been listening to you since just before Fanboy Smackdown. I wish I could remember his name now, because we're on the air and I sound like an idiot. But he was basically, like, analyzing 8 Days a Week, man.
Oh, now I gotta jump on there and talk
to
you. Yeah.
That's freaking awesome. God, I love that movie. All right. Anyway, let's push back what we've done. And talk about what we are doing.
Yeah, we actually have decided already what our next, probably what our next four episodes are going to be, unless something else comes up.
I still don't believe because
we keep
you.
Doing this. You know what? We keep doing this where we say, "Oh, the next episode is going to be Animal House, and it's The Dark Knight,
right,
or something else."
Right.
We've done that a couple of times now, but
the goddamn Batman. Come on.
And I mean, the goddamn Batman
isn't Dark Knight and the Animal House really the same movie? I mean, when you really get down to it,
you know
the
amount of time that we took spent on Dark Knight, we really should have cut about a half an hour of that and put more of that into Animal House.
I mean,
maybe.
We really didn't spend enough time on it.
We really didn't spend enough time on Animal House, but not that much needed to be spent on
it. No, it didn't.
We spent
Although we could do an episode where we parallel The Dark Knight in Animal House and the themes.
You get on that.
All right.
You start making notes on that.
I'm flexing, Alice. All right. So what's the next movie, then?
You know what? I closed that file.
It's Swing Vote.
Swing Vote's the next one. And War Games. What's that?
Newly released Swing Vote?
Newly released. Yes. Came out. Yeah, it's a couple weeks old by the time this episode comes out. The Kevin Costner movie where he is the one guy whose vote needs to count to determine who wins the election. It's kind of complicated, but we'll talk about it next week. Don't want to get too much into that now.
True.
There will probably be some clicky-click while I open the file. That,
the next one after that is War Games.
War Games, then A Few Good Men, then we're going to do Count of Monte Cristo, but we're going to do the old and the new. How old is the old one, do we know? We're talking
60s
like,
or 70s?
Okay.
I mean,
I don't know.
Possibly older.
Honestly, I think it's
black
older.
And white 50s-ish.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen either of them, so I really can't.
Isn't
speak to him.
Bogart in one of them?
I don't know. I don't know anything. I know Guy Pearce is in the new one. That's all I know.
Okay, I haven't seen either of them, so I really can't comment. And if I do, it would just be
right
ridiculous.
I haven't seen the old one. I've seen
not, not that I haven't done that before. Comment on movies I haven't seen yet.
So.
All right. So this week, we're talking about... Go
My
ahead.
Man.
I know you've
My
been
man
waiting.
Scorsese. I'm so happy. Taxi Driver.
I think we can probably even do this one in our regular format of review, take a little break, and spoil it.
I mean, it is an older movie. A lot of people aren't really aware. Somehow it's slipped under the radar without a lot of fanfare recently. I don't know why.
And people recently, know of it. People know of it, and people know some of the references from it. But
right.
I wonder how many people really have seen it.
I'd never seen it before. I'm like, oh, is that where this comes from?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
like
quite a few moments.
You're talking to me? It's like, seriously?
Yeah. It's,
if there's more than that, you'll have to point them out when we...
In the 90s, there
That's
was
one
a
of the
huge
biggest one.
Rediscovery of the film. And
kind
of
like there's been a rediscovery of Scarface.
Yeah.
In like the gangsta community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this... He's like this symbol. That really hasn't been the same said for Travis Bickle. Kind of thankfully.
Well,
you know,
Travis Bickle, I think, was rediscovered in the Nirvana type.
I'm thinking almost like a Bernie Getz, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because he's got kind of...
That was a big deal.
I mean,
deal,
that's... There's a big parallel there.
Oh, man, you guys are just tossing out names. Who are these people?
Bernie Getz.
I know Travis Bickle is the main character.
Okay, Travis Bickle is the main character of the movie.
Yeah, I got that part.
Bernard Getz was the subway shooter
in New York in the 80s.
Who
some punks held him up like by knife point, and he's like, bullshit. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
You
know? Right, okay. I didn't mean, and that's actually a better parallel than what I was saying.
Right.
But I just meant that in terms of artists, you know, a lot of the grunge,
the dysfunctionality,
they
railing
kind
against
of,
the system,
they kind of latched onto the film.
I can see that. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
okay, so I'm going to turn this over to you, Scorsese boy, and let you give our
Before you do the plot synopsis.
Yeah.
What did you think of the movie?
You know what? It's one of those things that I've seen the movie before, and I didn't have a tremendous amount of opinion about it at the time because it was probably about 10 or 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very differently constructed movie because the things that you think are the points of climax in the story aren't really the points of climax in the story. It's really more of a character piece. It's
and
not.
I'm gonna say this completely different, but I think we're getting the same thing. So go ahead.
Yeah, it's really not. It appears to be plot driven, but it's really more of a character study. And I think that's. And I really like character studies.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, I really like it. As far as the plot and the story behind it, it's okay. But the study of the character of Travis Bickle, I think is fantastic.
Okay. I guess I'll go since we all know what you're thinking.
Second greatest movie of all time. Next to Scorsese's other greatest movie of all time.
And Animal House, Raging which was Bull. The greatest movie of all time last week.
Well, that's only the greatest movie of all time when I'm, you know, a couple beers in and watching it. But Raging Bull and Taxi Driver for me are the mecca of movies. So
I don't like the character study, and I don't like character studies in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so, failing that, I went into the movie expecting a story, and so every time. It's like he would walk up two stairs, and I'm like, okay, all right. So at the top of the stairs is the story. So he'd walk up the two stairs, and then he'd walk down the two stairs. And then he'd walk up two stairs, and then walk down two stairs. And I was getting irritated and frustrated. I'm like, God damn it! You need to start. You need to finish what you start, God damn it! I was getting pissed off.
But you know what? It. We'll talk about this more later, but I think that is how the movie works, though, is because it's getting you frustrated, it's getting you upset, it's putting you in that same mental space that he is, because he's just fed up.
He's just weird.
He's not honest with himself about who he is.
Right.
And
I'll give you that.
And that's
he's not honest with anybody about who he is.
No.
Most importantly, himself.
Yeah,
you are correct
because,
with that.
Because the device... I don't normally like narrated movies,
mm-hmm.
but since the device of narration is effectively used to disguise who he is to himself, it's very well done.
Yes. I would agree, because that's one thing that... Because in looking back at this movie, I remembered some of the points of narration, because there's some powerful imagery in the narration. It's things that would have been off-putting to see, but when he says them through the course of the narration, I think it hits you at a different level, and it's not kind of a gross out, it just kind of punches you in the gut. So it's like you really feel it more than just having it exploitatively thrown on the screen. And a lot of that happens through the narration.
Yeah.
And narration in a lot of times narration just sucks. Yeah. It's pandering. It's talking down to an audience.
Right.
But that's not how it was used in this.
No, it's used effectively to create the portrait of a character who is, you know, sees himself as something other than what he actually is.
Yeah.
You know.
So let's go through the plot synopsis a little bit.
Go ahead and lie it out for me, Anthony.
Well, yes. Scorsese has said that he has never directed a movie with a plot.
This one proves it.
I think I've only seen one Scorsese movie so far, and I agree.
That might change after The Departed, because The Departed
had a plot. I was
going to
say, The Departed had a plot.
But most of his stories are character stories. There's not a lot of plot. It's just a series of events. So, that being said, there's not a lot of plot synopsis to go with, but basically it's about a man who wants to moonlight as a cab driver and make some extra bucks, and it's all he wants to do because he's got nothing else to do.
How does he moonlight as a cab driver when he doesn't have another job?
Well, that was one of the lines in the movie. Also, the guy who's hiring him says, you want to moonlight? And he's like, what's moonlighting? I just want to work. I want to work a lot of hours because I don't sleep.
Right.
So I mean, it's like he's just bored.
Exactly. But I mean, he tries to basically reintroduce... He's a vet, apparently, of the Vietnam War, and he doesn't have... He probably has family connections that are referenced to in the movie, but
mm-hmm.
he doesn't really explore any of those connections.
Right.
He tries to make connections with other people, but...
It never ends well.
Right.
He's very geek-like in that manner. He's very dysfunctional. He doesn't understand how people...
Awkward.
Yes, very socially awkward. He doesn't understand. And there's one scene in particular that shows just how socially awkward he is. I don't even know many geeks that would have done that.
And even in scenes where he's particularly charming, he always blows it.
Oh yeah.
In the end.
Well, and
yeah, some of those.
All things considered, he was very charming in the one scene that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for the location where they were. It would have came off as a pretty nice gesture.
Yeah.
He's just a really bad location.
Absolutely. without getting too much into the plot, he tends to, or his character, give too much away. He tends to project upon himself certain ideas or responsibilities about saving people, particularly women, from their lives. And he discusses how lonely they are, but he's really talking about himself.
Yeah.
Then he proceeds to act out that messianic complex. And that's basically what the movie's about. I'm trying to think if there's some politics involved. It's not really relevant. It's relevant at the time.
I was like, okay, this doesn't even seem to be an issue.
Yeah.
Clean up New York. I don't live in New York. I don't care.
But the way articulates cleaning up New York when he's probably part of... Where it feeds one of his obsessions, but yet at the same time he also is probably part of the problem. Is somewhat interesting in
and
terms
he
of character
yeah,
development.
He doesn't see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All in all, this is a... It's not
a date movie.
It's not a date movie.
My wife was pissed because I wasted her evening. That was the exact line. You stole my evening. Like, I didn't make you watch this.
Milena, I'm sorry.
Stole that time from me. Like, blame Anthony.
You can always blame me.
We'll
it
always
comes
blame
down
you.
To Scorsese.
You know what? The married guys can always blame the single guy. It's our out.
It's a code.
It's true.
It's part of the man code. Always blame the single guy. Because... he doesn't have a woman who will back her up.
That's right.
All right. As far as this goes, I mean, if you're a fan of Scorsese movies, absolutely. If you like the character studies, yeah. There, thematically, there's some hard stuff to see. And there's a scene toward the end where the... things go all to hell,
yeah.
and there's some disturbing imagery with that.
It might have been disturbing when it came out, but I wasn't.
Well, I mean, by today's standards, by today's standards,
it's pretty tame. They even any porn in the movie,
they blur it out for the most part.
You can kind of hear it, but it was like
you can hear it, but you know, ooh, it's big, it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear that a lot.
Words I've never heard before, but no, I'm just kidding.
I hear that all the time, my conversations. Men and women, oddly enough. I'm too familiar with my friends. If you're a De Niro fan.
Yeah.
De Niro brought it.
He did.
I'm not ashamed to say De Niro brought it.
He did.
He brought it to the table.
He made the character work.
Yeah, he did. The unfortunate thing about watching De Niro is that through the entire movie, I'm like, ah, God, he looks like my dad. And then, because he's so much younger, two brothers down from me, the resemblance to my
man.
Dad is just uncanny.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, it's my dad and my brother at the same time. Woo!
You should have one of your brothers shave their head.
Mohawk.
You could go as Bickle to Archon this year.
I can't shave my head. Look at these flowing locks. The ladies will cry out.
All right, so...
any other notable performances?
Sybil Shepherd's in it.
But
it was pretty...
sucked.
I mean, there are some names in the movie. Sybil Shepherd, Albert Brooks,
Keitel.
Harvey Keitel.
Jodie Foster.
Harvey Keitel with a whole hell of a lot of hair.
Yeah.
Who's he?
He was Sport.
Sport.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster has the same old woman voice in this movie, and she's like 13.
Yeah.
That she does now.
She did a disturbingly good job.
Yes.
In that role.
She was an excellent underage prostitute.
Yes.
I mean,
for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Have no experience with that per se, but
I mean per se. we'll just leave that where it is. But
Peter Boyle? Come on.
Peter Boyle was great in it.
I was like,
I thought about introducing this episode as our Peter Boyle tribute show.
Oh,
that would be
on.
That would be sweet.
What about Young Frankenstein?
We just haven't got there yet.
Oh, all right.
We're doing this episode now.
I mean, our whole entire show really is a tribute to Peter Boyle. I mean, we just go through movies and just, they're all for Peter Boyle.
We're just going to look for recently dead guys. We're going to start doing movies about them. The Recently Dead Guy podcast.
He showed up in that first scene, and I was like, oh my God, this guy didn't have hair 40 years ago. Good Lord. Did this guy ever have hair? And the thing about it is, like, he's bald on top, but he's got the hair on the side.
Yeah.
And it's long on the side. He's just like shoulder.
That was length. The way to go back then, man.
I was like, what is that?
You got the hair you got, and make it go, and you go with it. There was no hair club for men in the early 70s.
I was like, wow.
Not unless you had a bazillion dollars.
That's some hair. Anybody else notable? Not really. Because there weren't that many
at the time. In the
Martin
70s,
Scorsese.
Scorsese has one of the most memorable scenes.
He does.
He's the guy in the cab. Yeah, the cab.
With the dark jet black hair.
Pull over. Yeah.
Oh, that's Scorsese.
Yeah,
that's Scorsese.
It took me a minute to even realize it was him. It was his voice that gave it away.
Yeah.
Because it was like, that's not Martin Scorsese. He's never looked that young. I mean, because good God, he looks like a baby comparatively.
Yeah. He's, I guess, probably 35 or something by the time that movie was made. And he's a good actor. I mean, he shows up in random stuff. I mean, he shows up in his own movies occasionally to, like, fill some scenes and just do some stuff, but... He kind of shows up in stuff.
And the stuff he shows up in, he's good in.
Yeah.
He was in Shark Tale. He did the whole role as the capo.
Looks just like
the capo,
him
yeah, does. It's great.
Awesome. He's got the huge brows. It's awesome.
And it's the same personality character type that he plays in every movie. He's kind of nervous, kind of fidgety.
Right.
Talks really fast.
That's him. I mean, have you ever seen him on a talk show? He's like, he talks so freaking fast. It's ridiculous. But anyway, well, I'm a fanboy here, obviously. So after the break, we'll start smacking me down.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a break, and then we'll go to our spoilery stuff. You know what's coming up next week? If you don't want to be spoiled, if you want to check out the movie, stop listening after the break. Otherwise, come back and we'll really dig into it and start talking about the good stuff.
The podcast. We kick boredom square in the nuts.
Movies, music, books, games, whatever's on our minds.
Now, due to the wonders of hotel internet, I have no idea what has been said for the last 30 seconds, but I'm sure it was interesting and full of insight and other good stuff.
Podcast.com.
We're back.
What's going on?
Not too much. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's good.
You guys treat the break like it was a 2-day break and didn't see each other in 2 days. It was a total of 15 seconds.
Dude, it was like 5 seconds. I'm looking at the line right now.
I haven't looked through there and be like, oh, what was the break? I have to drop stuff in.
It's at the 25-minute mark, I can tell you that right now.
Thanks. I won't remember, so I'll have to listen to the episode.
Yeah, you'll get to this point.
At 26 minutes, I'll be like, oh, it was at the 25-minute mark.
It's going to go back a minute. So, who wants to spoil it first?
Well, I guess...
What the hell, man? Come on!
The opening line of the movie spoils the whole movie. It gives away the end.
What the hell is the opening line of the movie?
It's not necessarily the opening line of the movie. It's the intro opening to his dialogue. It's the opening monologue where he says something to the effect, I'm going to mess up the line, but it's something to the effect that the rain is washing the scum away from the city. I wish somebody would come through and wash away the real scum.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh,
right.
Blood is going to flow.
He also has a line where he basically says, I don't believe a person should devote themselves to morbid self-attention.
Yeah.
I think they should become a person like other people. But he does the exact
opposite.
And which is fantastic.
You're totally right about that he's completely lying to himself through the whole thing.
Yeah.
He wants somebody to clean up the scum, to get rid of the prostitutes and the drugs and just the mess. But every day after his shift, he goes to The porno movies.
Mm-hmm. And then he was all creepy with the...
when he takes Cybill Shepherd on a date to the porno movie. She's like, I don't normally like this movie. Oh, no, I see couples in here all the time.
Two gay guys walk out right behind you. And then, the most awkward scene in the movie is when they're in the diner. Like, the first time they go on a date, they're in the diner. He gets pie and whatever, and mm-hmm. she gets coffee or whatever. And they're talking, and it's like, yeah, you know what? Finally, you see this guy starting to connect with somebody. So then I think at this point, well, this is going to be a romance. They're going to hook it up. You know, the rest of the movie's going to be about this.
Sure.
Then it gets weird. And then it was like, all right.
Yeah.
So you said, oh, come on. What's your...
Yeah. Come on!
So, why? It's fantastic.
So this is the chronological study of the movie.
Okay.
So the movie starts out. And he applies to the taxi cab company.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so this is going to be a movie about him driving the cab, and then he's going to learn stuff. All right.
See,
so,
you kept trying to pigeonhole the
you're
story.
You're right, I did. I'm like, okay, I need to know where this is going. I have to know where this is going, otherwise I have no frame of reference, I'm lost. It's like I'm in a big void. And that is a perfect explanation.
I don't like falling!
I don't... So he gets the job...
This podcast would work much better if it was a vidcast. Yeah, I could see me waving my arms.
So he gets the job. And so I'm like, okay, so this is going to be about driving the cab. So we stick with the cab thing for like the next couple scenes, and then we just drift away from it. Then he's doing Creeper Stalker thing with Cybill Shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, so we're not doing the cab thing anymore. I mean, he still has the job, but it's not important anymore. It's just kind of his vehicle to get to Cybill Shepherd. All right, I can buy that. I'm all right with that. We'll go up another step. Then the Cybill Shepherd stuff happens, and then they break up. And we go back down the steps. Because, all right, now she's out of the picture. Clearly yep. not doing anything anymore.
But you didn't see in theater when he's trying to have a conversation with that woman that pretty much is going to set up the framework for the entire movie. He's hitting on the woman selling candy in the theater.
Yes.
And
yes, I mean...
You see that scene right away.
Yeah, but they spent so much time on Cybill Shepherd. That's why I thought that they were going to go somewhere with her. But then she doesn't show up again until the... I mean, when he's going to, quote-unquote, kill the presidential candidate, she's
right
there on the side, but...
But see, the thing is...
Well, then she shows up at the very end.
Yeah, then she shows up at the very end.
He never really... He just projects the same thing onto each woman. It's whether it's the woman in the theater,
she's lonely.
Cybill Shepherd, or the prostitute who actually is in a dire situation.
Right.
But his reasons for doing what he does have nothing to do with
right.
her reason, you know, actually getting the reason they thank him or whatever.
Right.
And so, but you didn't like.
I wanted. I was like, all right, where is this going? Because I'm okay if I can see. All right, the next step. I see the next step. I'm cool with the next step. But we never got to the next step. We always went somewhere else. We always turned.
You just don't like character studies.
No, I don't.
And that's fine.
I like a story.
Okay, you can shut up for the rest of this podcast.
That's what I'm going home.
I have a feeling that the rest of the queue of Scorsese movies I told you to watch is going
you
to
might
be
as
very
well just
disappointing.
Not, you will not watch that.
Oh. I see my invitation to Backseat Producers growing stale already. See how it is? Play this game. Start talking about Stephen King, you guys.
I'm curious to see what you think. And what's really interesting is that Stephen King really digs into the character study.
He does, but he does it through a story.
We can talk about that another time. I'm not a fan of the Stephen King. I'm not a fan of the Neo King. I'm like the older King when he actually had plots to his stories that didn't involve piss and shit.
No. They all involve the van now. We'll talk about it later.
Anyway. And what I was talking about earlier with the imagery, because I didn't want to give away anything and I didn't want to get too graphic,
right?
Was there's a line, and it's like toward the end of that, still that opening monologue, where he's talking about being a cabbie, and he says something like, "Every night or every morning, I have to clean the cum out of the back seat,
right?
And some nights I clean up the blood,
right?
And it's still just projecting everything that's going to happen.
Sure,
it's always about sex.
It's like, and you don't have a problem,
but
with
everything and then and then some of it's violent. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have a problem with it. It's taking place in the back seat of his cab, but he's fine with it, and he profits from it. Mm-hmm. And apparently, he's doing pretty well because they imply that he's got a ton of money.
Yeah,
but still, he owes some guy $5.
Right.
I found that really interesting.
Well, it was a guy named called Doughboy, right?
Yeah.
Because he always reminds you that, you know, you owe him money or whatever.
Yeah.
One thing that's interesting along those lines of Doughboy is the character, Travis Bickle, is a racist. I mean, that's a huge part of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And it speaks to all of his other character flaws. And his self-denial.
Right.
But it's a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at the pimps who are there, and he looks at them because they're African-American.
Right.
And he looks at them with a kind of, you know, leeriness. But is he really any different?
Exactly.
You know, he's the same as those guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the same type of stuff.
Right.
And
instead of being the guy selling it on the street corner, he's the guy letting it happen in the backseat of his van.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, and so then he tries to save a prostitute from Harvey Keitel.
Right.
And this is, I don't know the depth to which Paul Schrader means this when he says this, but Paul Schrader wrote the script, and he says that he based Taxi Driver off The Searchers. That's what he says.
Okay.
He says that...
I haven't seen The Searchers, so I can't speak to that.
Okay. Well, then I won't go into it.
Okay.
But basically...
And that's actually on our queue of movies to discuss.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe we can touch back on this point when we talk about
when we talk about The Searchers. But basically, the relationship that John Wayne has with the woman who gets kidnapped by the Indian tribe... is the same relationship that De Niro supposedly has with Jodie Foster.
Okay.
Basically, in The Searchers, John Wayne feels like he has to save this woman from the tribe, and he's a racist, and he hates Indians,
mm-hmm.
American Indians, and this is the same thing. I don't really know how deep of a parallel that is, but basically, it's supposed to be the framework for De Niro's actions.
I'll have to see it before I can really speak to it. So,
but basically,
it's interesting to be something now that I'm going to watch for when I see The Searchers.
Right, right. And The Searchers is a good movie. I got to admit, when I saw The Searchers, I didn't really see. I mean, I can understand how maybe it's more of like planting the seed in his head for Taxi Driver, but I don't really see how it's a direct parallel. But
right,
But anyway, I think I'm, like, just freaking taking over the conversation now that anyone else talk, but...
You told me not to talk, Anthony, so...
No, actually, it was me that told you not to talk.
But,
I don't know if I blame him, though.
I'm the single
guy. That's right, we blame the single guy.
But, I mean, I could go on and on and on about the film, but I think the...
That was the point.
Yeah, I know.
Normally, I'm the one going on and on and on about the film, so...
I think that the final scene, when he... blows everybody away and saves her is fantastic because he's expelling from his, you know, mind or all of his frustration that he built up, and he was going to wrongly direct it against a political assassination, which was really against Sybil Shepherd.
Yeah.
But he's taking it out against the candidate.
Right.
He was supporting.
He was basically going to destroy the one thing that he knew that she was passionate about.
Right.
Yeah.
Not that she wasn't more passionate about other things, but that was really all he knew about her.
And when he writes to his parents, he says he's working for the Secret Service or the government protecting this candidate or whatever.
And yet still he has enough consciousness and frame of mind to flat out lie to the Secret Service guy. Because he knows that the only reason he's asking is because they're going to come check him out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. And then...
You know, there was one thing that really bothered me about the scene at the hotel when he goes crazy and has his big blown away thing. And it was... Okay, so he shoots Keitel.
Okay.
All right. Then he goes inside.
Mm-hmm.
and he shoots the fingers.
Yeah, he shoots off his hand, yeah.
And I mean, the fingers just are blown off. Okay, that's fine. Then Keitel shoots him. At no point do you hear that guy, after he is shot,
make a noise. Yeah.
Until he gets shot again. He doesn't make a noise and he doesn't move. He just goes...
What, the
he just
little,
freezes.
The portly little guy?
Yeah, he freezes
doesn't
and
he
looks
say,
at his hand. He doesn't say a thing.
Doesn't he say, I'll kill you.
And then he turns around and shoots him again. That's after he gets shot again.
Oh.
He climbs up. He gets shot again, then climbs up the stairs, has the gun, says, I'll kill you, and he starts shooting down the stairs. But it's like there's this lag of about a minute.
Yeah, where he doesn't
where
make
he does
any noise.
Nothing. I mean, I would have thought he'd be trying to scramble up the stairs. He just stands there and kind of looks at the half stump of his fingers. It's just weird. And it was just it just this weird
Did
moment
get
in time.
Shot in the neck.
Yeah.
It's like that's fatal.
That brings up an interesting point. A lot of people don't think that the ending is real.
That, you know what, that very well could be.
A lot of people think that the ending is a fantasy.
Oh.
Which, it actually kind of makes sense the way a lot of it happens, because everything after that just kind of gets weird.
Yeah.
And that he really doesn't have a lot to say or do after
that. Yeah, because after that, everything becomes so nonsensical.
Well,
her parents come and take her away, and now she's back in school, and everything is fine. It's like a fairy tale.
And there's an interesting
thing, and that's a good point, when
he drives away from Sybil Shepherd, and like everything's okay, and he's a big hero, he turns the rearview mirror, and there's a sonic pulse. If you listen to it, it's real quick, and it looks like there's nothing in the rearview mirror, which would suggest that probably he invented it in his head.
That could be.
It may even be... Whether he's bedridden in a hospital or dead, or it may even be out of place chronologically.
But also, interestingly enough, it's raining.
Right.
At the end.
Exactly.
It is raining.
Yeah.
Which is the
which
one
I didn't
thing,
even think about.
Which is the one thing that he wanted to see. He wanted to see the rain wash things away and clean things up and wipe the slate clean.
It's not conclusive. No one... I mean, that's just an idea out there. I mean, no one knows whether it's real or not, but it's a pervasive... theory about
it's a,
the
it's
end
a
of
good
the
theory. It's a good theory about the end of the film. I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to take a look at that portion of it again and to get a more coherent thought about it. But
I don't see myself watching it again.
Really? We find that hard to believe.
I'm so disappointed that you didn't dig it, man. But
interesting.
That's all right.
I thought it interesting that he. For trying to protect her, he was going to blow his head off in front of her.
Well, I mean, it was really just... I mean,
I think he was
at that
point,
he was suicidal. I mean, you know, this was his big moment. It was like any Rampage killer. You know, they always kill themselves at the end. I mean, or they try to. I mean, that's their deal, you know.
It's the one problem with murder-suicide. They get the order mixed up.
Yeah, exactly.
If they do it in the right order...
Nobody else gets hurt.
It would remove so many of the problems.
That's hilarious.
So, no, I know. I mean, it seems like he has a complete disregard for her in the scene.
It would totally go against my quote from pre-last episode where random death is good.
I cut that out, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
I put that at the beginning of this episode.
And post it, though. Maybe I will. I'll put it in the feed.
Like, random death is good. Just that one line.
People get a 5 second, 5 second sound bite.
What the
random
hell?
Random death is good. I think Maxi Producer's trying to kill me.
That would be awesome.
That'd be hilarious. I'm gonna do that tomorrow.
Just throw it in the feed just like that. Just title it "Random Death is Good" and release it.
No
just
text.
Like that.
Just the file.
And you know what?
Freaking awesome.
If you're listening to this point, you hear this. Guess what? It didn't mean anything. We're just doing it to mess with people because that's how we roll.
I'm wrapping my head around the time for this recording release.
We're in
the
future.
It's such a pain in the ass.
It doesn't help when you know we end up recording an episode where we're talking to Pip, who is in the future.
Yeah,
she's like the next day already.
Yeah, it's Wednesday, and she's tweeting. I was like, "Oh, happy Thursday! What? Oh, seriously? My birthday is tomorrow. Your birthday is Friday. It's Wednesday.
Oh, no, it is tomorrow.
Oh, your birthday is tomorrow?
Yeah. Every birthday. Yeah, so. The 8th. Not her, not his.
It, not his?
No.
Oh, Pip's,
her,
Pip's yeah,
birthday.
Yeah,
her
yeah.
birthday is the 8th, yeah.
Friday. Yeah, the 8th. Yeah, the day, that, talked about that, the day yeah. that we're pimping them out. So, or the day, I guess, at this point, that we pimped them out.
Yes.
Woo! We're messing with Adam again.
So
we still need to get you
any
to watch
further
Primer.
Criticisms of the film.
I've watched Primer.
Did you?
Did you like it?
Yeah. Sweet. What Primer was time travel.
What?
Well, we figured you would, but you didn't like Taxi Driver, and so I'm confused.
Taxi Driver, no time travel.
Oh, huge but there criticism may be at the end of the film.
Huge criticism. Well, maybe.
Well,
debatable time travel.
Now that puts it travel. In a that puts it in a different frame of reference, doesn't it?
And I will tell you the whole discussion about the theoretical ending. Probably better than the movie itself. No. I feel the same way about this movie that I felt about the original Rollerball.
Oh,
the movie was well.
Wow.
I don't see. We'll see it in a second.
I can't stand. I can't stand the movie. Okay. Can't stand it. I thought the movie was awful. But it was well done.
But it's Rollerball. What do you expect out
of it? What do you mean? That was a very well done movie. The plot was really stupid.
Yeah.
But the movie was very well directed.
Okay.
Okay.
That's how I feel about this.
Okay, Rollerball is kind of a different genre. It's the genre of futuristic science fiction sports that never will exist.
I feel the same way about this, though.
Okay.
My angst towards futuristic sports that will never exist extends into
past taxi drivers who are homicidal,
yes, racist.
And sociopathic and racist.
Yeah, I mean the
I
scenes
see,
where
I can see that.
The
sociopathic where sociopathic taxi drivers rate right up there with futuristic sports.
The
gotcha.
Scene where he's interacting with her in the cafe. Is I think you can draw the parallel scene where the one dude
which
gets
one?
Spiked gauntlet in the head which, in Rollerball.
Nice. Nice. I think here I was asking you which scene.
Same scene.
Because you feel like you were spiked in the head with the gauntlet at that point because you realized
no.
this story was going nowhere. It was disappointing to you because you were expecting that, a plot instead of
it was
of
like
a character
an array
study.
Of stories.
I thought
it was very well done.
Oh, okay. That's good.
If you're into the art of film, you'll enjoy the movie. Bam. Soundbite. Bam.
I thought there was a few points of it that could have been tightened up. I think the editing's a little bit loose in it.
The editing is a little bit loose.
And I got the sense that it could be intentional. It could be thematic.
I kind of felt that it was.
Because it was like coming apart in places.
Yeah.
Just to kind of give you the sense of him coming apart in places.
Because he did.
Yeah, because he was inconsistent. I don't know, why would the editing be consistent?
I don't know.
Any flaws we could
you
just
know, yeah, that's
crazy.
Yeah, that might have been from design. And it's something I just
one
did.
Of the, one of the
when I first noticed it, it was before I considered that. So
when he calls, what's her name on the phone, and she sent back the flowers, and it just pans out into the hallway, and you're hearing the conversation.
But
you're not seeing him. You're just seeing the vacant hallway. Scorsese says that's exactly what he wanted to do,
man,
to create...
That dude pans to the right all the time. Like, oh, here's a shot. Start panning.
Yep.
He does that, like, every scene ends with a pan to the right.
It gives a sense of motion in something that's otherwise just... somebody
two
it's just
talking.
A talking
yeah.
head.
It's not even two
if
people
it wasn't
talking.
That, if it wasn't that, it'd be an early Kevin Smith movie. Where it's just literally two people talking the whole time. Look at Clerks. The camera never moves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
the dialogue in Clerks is snappier because when
it's a different. I mean, that's a hard comparison.
Well, no,
there,
I'm just
yeah.
saying that they have to do the camera move for what you're saying because right. he does the stumble and then the and then the repeating himself and then the stumble and then the and it's like oh
right.
If you've ever done sound editing, it's like oh I. This is painful for me to listen to because I'm thinking about how I would have to silence the and then move everything together, and it's like, oh.
I must drive you crazy.
Yeah, you do.
Actually, I do a lot of uhs.
Actually, it's not really bad if you get into a conversation, but earlier this episode when you were doing the synopsis, you were going blah, 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 blah.
I know, I was listening to it, and I'm like...
I was like, oh,
no.
Yeah, I tend to do that.
I do that too.
I have a hard time listening to the radio now and all sorts of. I have a warped perception of when people talk, but it's made me a better speaker.
Cool.
I used to be terrible.
So we'll get you editing the episode soon, just
sweet,
just to clean
just so
you
I
up.
Become a better speaker.
You don't want to do that. It's sounds a pain good. In the ass. I don't want to inflict it on anybody.
I guess one other observation about the film just is that I like the scene with Jodie Foster and De Niro in the diner. I think is she actually acts like a kid.
Yeah.
In one scene.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it really kind of brings her down to earth and makes you realize how sympathetic of a character she really is.
Yeah, she's not just a. I mean, for you know, to put it bluntly, she's not just a street whore.
No. Yeah. She's been taken advantage of.
Right.
By people.
Yeah. She brought it. She brought it to the table. Hardcore.
So, yeah, she was.
She brought it just like De Niro did.
She got nominated for that movie. She didn't win. Nobody won anything for that movie. But,
really?
No.
What other movie came out that year that?
76? Who won in 76?
Rattle this off off the top of your head. There's something wrong.
I don't know. The last motion picture I know that won Best Picture in the 70s was Deer Hunter won in 78. I don't know who won in 77. But it didn't win in 76. I don't know who
77?
Won.
77? I don't remember.
Star Wars was nominated.
Star Wars won.
Yeah.
We'll say it.
Star Wars won.
In our
it
world?
It won in 76, too. It was crazy. It wasn't
years.
Even made yet.
76. 76, was that Rocky?
It was Rocky. Rocky won.
Rocky won.
Rocky won,
in
won that year. Yes, very good.
I've never seen Rocky.
We did Rocky.
I hate Stallone. No, I hate Stallone. I can't look into the guy, and I can't understand what you're saying. Stallone.
But you know what? This... He wrote this movie for himself, and it works.
Yeah.
It works the way he speaks and that personality.
Yeah.
Actually, I just don't like Philadelphia. Just kind of needs to go away. I have no specific... I have nothing
it was
specific.
Her first capital,
being,
you know.
I'm just being negative to be negative now.
You're just being a dick
you
now.
Son of a bitch.
I really do have a problem with Stallone. I can't understand it. He was good in Tango and Cash, which we got to talk about.
Oh my god!
What are you talking about?
I'm thinking like, you know, the movies he was actually good in.
Copland,
First Blood, Rocky.
I haven't seen any of those.
You pick Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash.
And probably Don't Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, I'm sure, is also on your list
of
excellent
one either.
Stallone movies. Well, that's good.
Oh, what was that awful one that he did with, where he's like a cowboy?
Man,
like
I don't
a
know.
Modern cowboy. It was
the fact
horrible.
That I even know about that now has just made my life infinitely worse.
It makes your
Tony.
Head hurt.
Thanks for ruining my life, Tony.
That's what I'm here for. Bring a little dourness to your day.
Tony, before tonight, I thought I was a pretty good person. Now I know I'm awful. Go home and kill myself. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Do the murder-suicide thing. Make sure you flip them around, okay?
I'll get it right. Don't worry.
All right, thank you.
I only got one more chance to get it right. So. You get it wrong doing that, don't want to go out on a bad note.
Well, anyway.
Only
thanks for watching Taxi Driver, guys.
I'm sorry to take
get
away from your wife.
The house.
Go ahead and...
Huh?
Is that all you got on it? I thought this was your favorite movie.
It is one of my favorite movies, but I've got nothing more to say, really. I mean, we've discussed the character study. We've discussed the characters.
We discussed Peter
Boyle. We've discussed the elusive ending.
You know,
very interesting.
I was a little disappointed that... I mean, it depends on the ending.
Uh-huh.
If it really ends with him dying, and then that's just his fantasy... I'm happier with having that as the ending than I would be with the ending that I saw.
Really?
Yeah, because the happy ending for him doesn't work. I don't want him to have a happy ending. I don't want him to drive off into the
rain.
It
doesn't work in any way you look around it because, I mean, just the cops, they bust in and they've got their guns on them. Under no circumstances, no matter what Jodie Foster says... Will they ever come to the conclusion that this guy just went on the shooting spree and cleaned up the gang? Nobody would be heroed for that.
Getz was.
Getz was.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was after the movie.
Yeah, but they mugged him.
Here's an interesting thing about the movie. That
yeah, but I mean, was, look at this. Look at this. Thing. Look at the situation. He took out a pimp and the guy who was running a hotel for that housed a 12-and-a-half-year-old prostitute. To hear that, if that hits the media, and this guy took care of that,
yeah.
The media, depending on how the media spun it, that guy could be a hero. Yeah, and he would never... And I think the most unrealistic point about that is he wouldn't be working as a cabbie.
Actually, I think probably one of the most unrealistic thing about it in general is that the dude got shot in the neck, had no medical attention for more than 5 minutes, and still lived.
It depends on how deep the neck wound was and where it was.
Did you see how much blood there was?
There was a lot of blood. Which lends itself a lot to Tony number two's
that he's dead.
Idea that he's dead. And I think it actually works. And I think it works better for the story in general because the fact is the guy was delusional.
Right.
He was delusional about his place in society, mm-hmm. and that he was a contributor to the scum.
Mm-hmm.
And unless he becomes. Unless he managed to clean himself up, which we don't get the sense that he's cleaned himself up.
No.
We just get the sense he's still where he was. If he's not dead and out of the system,
right.
It's really no better a system than it was before.
Well, I think in light of Anthony presenting that scenario to me, I think he's dead.
Yeah. Just think it's more consistent with the fact that he deludes himself about everything else.
And well, it wraps up every single
yeah,
one.
It does.
It wraps up every single one of the plot lines that they start and stop
right.
for him. So
it does. It really brings everything together a lot cleaner.
But see, if Scorsese actually made it that way, it wouldn't be. It would be too neatly wrapped up for the type of movie that it is.
I think it would be beating you over the head with the lesson,
and I don't like that that much.
But it's not beating you over the head with the lesson. I mean,
not
what's
only
the
that,
lesson?
But there's no delusion then. It's all. You're essentially out of, and actually there is a flaw in the movie. There's a flaw in the movie, and it's when you see Sport and Iris, and Travis Bickle's not in that scene.
What?
That is a huge flaw in the movie.
What are you talking about?
When they're dancing together.
So?
The flaw is that it breaks...
The first person?
Yeah. It breaks the first person narrative in that scene.
Oh, you're right.
And then it continues. But see, there would be no delusion if we found out outside of first person that it wasn't real, that he actually died or was bedridden for the rest of his life or whatever. See, through this way, through the fantasy sequence, we see the end, and we know to ourselves what is real about the ending, but...
You know what?
If
you know
it
what
were
broke
outside
it,
of that, it would break the...
You know what makes it seem... Like the delusion and that he is dead seems so much more real is the fact that the voiceover changes to her dad.
Yeah.
To the letter from her dad. And it was his voice. And that was really jarring
mm-hmm.
because it wasn't Travis.
Mm-hmm.
It was somebody else talking. And even if it was Travis reading the letter, I think we would still heard his voice.
Man, everybody in that movie had terrible handwriting.
Yeah.
Every single letter, I'm like, oh, that's barely legible.
Yeah.
My, like, 12-year-old brother writes like that. What is this?
Holden writes better than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what is going on?
I don't
know.
Just have
less motor skills in the 70s? Is that...
A lot of people are doing shorthand, I guess.
Galaga. I blame the lack of Galaga.
there was something else I was going to mention. Oh, Hinckley.
Yeah, Hinckley. You know what?
You can't
I was
really
thinking
go
about
without
that.
Mentioning
Hinckley. I was thinking about that. I never understood Hinckley's idea that killing someone would have got him the attention of Jodie Foster. I never
It doesn't
got
even make sense of the
connection.
Plot of the story, but then again,
but it does
Hinckley's
make sense.
Insane, and
but
so
it
is
does
Travis
make
Fiddle.
Sense in looking at this movie, though, how he put the connection of killing someone like that and Jodie Foster together in his warped mind. I can see a warped mind putting those two together and cross-referencing them. And
basically, Hinckley tried to assassinate President Reagan.
Okay.
And almost succeeded. And he did it to impress Jodie Foster.
On my 10th birthday.
Really? That's bizarre.
Oh, okay.
And
March 30th, 1981.
Went back to school at the time. I guess she was at Yale. And he was writing her letters and basically, like, stalking her. A very Bickle-like character. And almost a bizarre mirror image.
I mean, he must have studied the movie at some point. I'm sure there's
I'm sure there's
stuff that talks about this because we're not going to research it. I'm going to go ahead and say that he watched the movie and he used it as a point of reference.
with
absolutely
no
research.
It seems to me that the backseat producers agree that that is truth. Henceforth,
it is to be so. We're going to go put that on Wikipedia right now. So by the time you get on this, it'll be on Wikipedia. It will be law.
And they,
backseat producers, but not actually guaranteed. And Wikipedia will say that.
Pleasantly
those
pleased
damn
that,
Wikipedians
that
will take
Hinckley,
it off.
Hinckley tried to get, tried to be able to. I guess I don't know. Was it some kind of like visitation rights or rights to be free for a certain amount of time on his own? And they denied him it.
Yeah.
Thank God.
The dude was nuts.
So
yeah, he thought that killing Reagan would get him the attention and affection of Jodie Foster.
That seems reasonable to me.
No caveats for that?
Per se.
No, I've been thinking, you know, I saw Jodie Foster
the
in
word
First
of the
Contact,
day is per se.
Contact, and, you know, I was thinking right after I saw that movie, if I could just go kill Reagan, then all of my problems would
if
be
I could just go, if I could just go kill an alien, Jodie Foster will
the only
me
problem
down
now is that since Reagan's dead...
You'd have to resurrect him and kill Zombie Reagan.
Killing Zombie Reagan, I'd be a hero.
This is true. Except in John's eyes.
Except in John's eyes.
John would hunt you down.
For John killing Reagan shirt. I haven't seen him since I marched for him. Like, what would Ronnie do?
John being the John of mention that showed up on
Blade Runner
podcast. So what... You seem speechless.
I have nothing
else. You're not
going to
do so well at Archon, I'm thinking.
I don't think so. I think if somebody comes dressed as Zombie Reagan, I'm not going to have anything to say. I'm just going to be like, all right.
Hey, Zombie Reagan.
Hey, Zombie Reagan.
You need to start questioning his policy decisions and see what the person says. See how big a geek they really are.
Exactly.
Did they really do the research?
You got to pose for people. Every time somebody takes a picture with me, I got to point at the camera.
He does. Every time.
It's ridiculous.
That's awesome. Well, hey, you got a
trademark. There's a series of about 30 pictures. Every time I turned around at Gen Con last year, I see Adam going, pointing at somebody. And every time he saw a camera, he'd just point at it. They're not taking pictures. He's pointing just in case.
Sometimes I would point at somebody who had a camera. They weren't taking pictures, but they would see me pointing.
And so they would take one.
I was like, yeah.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
This is my photo finger.
It's awesome.
It's like a Jedi mind trick.
Man, I love conventions. I really just love public drunkenness and a self-contained ecosphere of dork. Public drunkenness is acceptable. And there, I don't feel the social pressures of, like, the sports crowd, where it's like, I know I'm totally not into that crowd.
Right.
They start tossing out stats, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. They start talking about tossing out the stats of 2D6 and the bell curve. Now we can talk. I got 1 out of 36 to give me boxcars. Come on.
I don't know what that means. So there we are.
You just watch me go, man.
Watch Adam really turn into a dork.
I guess I'll be
Adam puts on then. Adam puts on this cool. I'm not really like that. Wait till he shows up in
Archon's gonna be ridiculous.
Yeah, he'll show up in costume, and it's like, wait a minute, that's not the same dude that I podcast with.
I'm probably gonna
wear
my kilt one of the days.
If I lose a couple pounds, I'll put my kilt back on.
Every man dies, but not every man really lives.
Very true. Hey man, fear is the mind killer.
Fear's the little death.
I can't do the whole litany.
Fear's the little death that brings total obliteration. Damn it! I got nothing. I can't remember. I know it will pass through. I will let it pass through me,
I'll take
but
a deep
not
breath and let it pass through me,
but not consume me or something like that. Yeah. I can't remember. If I remember too much, then we're looking at copyright problems, which is really what I'm doing. I'm protecting us.
Boom!
Good for you.
See how
good
I did
for
that.
Us.
See how I roll.
All of us.
You see what I did there?
I saw what you did.
I protected us and
like
saved
it.
My geek ass
there.
All at the same time.
Damn, you're like a superhero.
Two birds, one stone.
Zing! Oh. So what were we talking about again?
I think we were talking about how the fantasy ending.
Yeah, you know, I'm still
it's what
actually
I want to believe now.
I never made that connection until you said it. And the more I think about it, the more it makes sense, and the more happy I am with the whole movie if that's how it ends. But I can see your point that that would be very.
If
they wrapped it up that neatly,
it would not do justice to the rest of the narrative because of the way the rest of the narrative is told.
But I think But I think
that breaks that the consistency.
But I think that it maintains the consistency of that he's lying to himself, that he is a good person. That he is above that, and that he has done good things.
I think fantasy does, but if it was just that, if it was just that he died, and there was no, I think the fantasy does justice to it. I think it's great. I just am saying if the end result was and this guy died, the end credits roll.
Oh, okay,
that's
what
I'm saying.
Okay,
I'm saying
okay, yeah.
That's why the unevenness and
I'm with you now.
Whether or not it has to be uncertain because it has to be
page same. Right. We're on it together. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, and, you know, it's one of the things I like about Scorsese is that his movies just don't really end. They just kind of
stop,
and then the credits roll.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I like that kind of storytelling. I tell those kind of stories.
I hate celebration scenes.
Well, you won't see any of them in a Scorsese movie.
God, I hate celebration scenes.
Yeah, I struggle to think of a Scorsese movie that was a celebration scene.
Well, see,
the
great thing about Scorsese movies is there usually is a celebration scene in the first 30 minutes of the film. And then everything just goes downhill from there.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's really...
Not so much in this one.
Not really, although when he's got the good feelings about... He's talking about Betsy, what's her last name? And I got to remember stuff like that. And he feels like he's in a relationship. You start cheering for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying there, yeah.
And that all kind of tends to happen in the first half hour. You know, Ray Liotta and Goodfellas. It's like, this is the greatest life ever.
Yeah.
And after that, it begins to fall apart.
In the last 45 minutes of that movie is... I can watch that over and over.
Oh, my God.
I could throw the DVD in right now and watch the last 45 minutes.
God, Goodfellas.
I've never seen
about Goodfellas. About the point when he starts cooking the spaghetti, from there on, I can watch that movie from that point on three times a day.
It's a great movie.
It's just so frenetic.
It makes...
And so insane from that point.
It makes Derek and the Dominoes... so much more interesting.
Oh, man. The whole...
Layla.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one we should probably pull out at some point.
We'll go down the line.
We'll have to give Adam another month or two to wash the bad taste out of his mouth before we slip another one in under him.
Actually, give me another 2 months. I had a month and a half coming up, I think. So many conventions.
We'll hold off on Raging Bull a little bit then.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Give us some time.
Watch Raging Bull tonight. Let me start it.
Do it. That'd be great.
I will probably actually just go home and go to bed. Actually,
I might go home and watch Raging Bull tonight.
You know what, gentlemen? We have a problem. This podcast, there's been no alcohol consumed.
Yeah, I know.
Last podcast.
And yet it has still remained riveting.
I was the only one.
Well, that's up to the audience.
We need to change the situation.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to be here next week.
Pronto.
I'll be drinking in Vegas.
Next week, I'll probably be able to. I can't drink tonight. I've got stuff to do when I get home.
Well, it's.
I got a Raging Bull.
The show's over now. I mean, what the hell? Raging Bull.
I'm going to watch Raging Bull.
I'm going to go home and watch Raging Bull.
I can't drink right now.
Are you mad?
Oh.
He's going to go home and sleep in his truck. What are you talking about?
I might go watch Raging Bull, and then I might go outside and sleep in my truck. I don't know.
It could be a beautiful night for that. You never know.
Oh. So, All right, guys.
Well, I'm glad
you guys watched it. I appreciate it.
Not
the Scorsese-ness.
I enjoyed it.
You appreciate it.
You appreciate it.
Look.
He's just happy that we talked about a movie that he likes instead of the ones we crammed down his throat all the time.
I tend to pick films that are anti-commercial. People don't watch them. A lot of people don't like them. And the endings may not even be real. So that being said, I appreciate the fact that we took the time to discuss the movie.
Have you seen Enemy Mine?
No.
Have you seen it? That's another one I'm going to add to our big list of movies. Let me go ahead and throw out there that we've got a big list of movies that we're putting together for ourselves so that we don't have
big list of movies!
Wow, we need to end this. It's getting late.
It's getting a little weird.
Yeah.
Put your pants back on.
Well, that was just a hint that we were probably at some point going to delve into the Larry the Cable Guy film repertoire.
Who's Larry the Cable Guy?
Folk.
Oh, my God. It's a good thing you don't know who he is.
No, I know
it's
who he is.
It's better.
Mater.
Mater.
From Cars.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, man.
Okay, so we've got this big list of movies.
List of movies.
God damn it.
Dude, we just do the business so we can get out of here. I'm so tired.
All right, if you have suggestions to put movies onto this list so that we can choose from, so that we don't have to have the awkward, what are we going to talk about next week conversation on the air, submit them. Just shoot us an email. Okay, that was lame.
It was.
That's not going to stop you from doing the next thing, is it?
Nope.
He's going to keep doing it.
No, it's going to stop me.
And this is Tony.
Oh, man, we got it. Oh, that got to go.
All right. See you next week.